Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We are off and rolling on a Monday, March 20th, 2023. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am Gabe Kuhn, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman on Twitter at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside super producer Big Bet Bennett Doyle on Twitter at Bennett Doyle. All right, Bennett, how was your weekend outside of the Tigers on Friday? Good weekend outside of that?
I mean,
can't forget about it.
That pretty much decided how my weekend was going to go, man.
Yeah, I understand. But, all right. I mean, are you good?
I'm not good.
You're still down. I hear you.
I'm not good.
And I know there's a lot of Tiger fans still down about how that all shook out. 66-65, Tigers lose to FAU tournament. Their run that they could have potentially had ends in the first round. FAU now in the Sweet 16 after beating Fairleigh Dickinson yesterday. That's the part that makes it the worst. But we do have 2.5 hours of talk on the way, courtesy at 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We have this whole first hour dedicated to the Tigers and what their season ultimately finished like. 26-9, lose to FAU in the first round in the 8-9 matchup. 9 seed gets over 8. Now FAU is in the Sweet 16. We'll open on that. We'll talk about the Tigers' season in review. And then the bottom of this hour, a first on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Bennett, a first on the Gabe Kuhn Show. We're going to open the phone lines to you Tiger fans out there. I know there's heartbreak, but what do you ultimately see this season as? What do you ultimately see this season as? What are your feelings on the Tiger season? Success or disappointment? Was it a success or a disappointment? We'll open the lines 901-445-0929 at about 4:30 for the rest of the first hour. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins will join from the Daily Memphian columnist and also of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 on these airwaves. Then we'll get into the Blitz. Then we have small talk to get to. Then at about 6 o'clock, glad to be able to bring on Rob Fisher on such a good day for the Grizzlies. 2 wins over the weekend. And we have 2023 Grizzlies Hoops for St. Jude Day. We have a lot of things up for grabs still. Jaren Jackson Jr., a signed jersey. I think right now, I believe it's a Zeebo vinyl that's up for grabs that you can go. You can go bid on if you go to grizzlies.com/St. Jude. But again, it's 2023 Grizzlies Hoops for St. Jude. We'll talk with Rob Fisher about that. And we'll also discuss the Grizzlies weekend and what the plans are going ahead for Ja Morant. Then we'll get into the rewind shortly thereafter before we send you off to Jessica Benson for Grizz pregame. But Tigers versus FAU, they lose 66-65. Game-winning layup by Nick Boyd. And Elijah McCadden, who I thought had played really well through that first half, overcommitted to a ball fake, not an overly good ball fake. Nick Boyd gets the layup right there. And I think there's a rule for the Tigers at this point. If you've been a Tiger fan for a long time or a short time, you know how it goes. It always has to be cruel and unusual. And there's There's always a side, Bennett, of self-inflicted wounds. Turnovers, missed free throws, not fouling up three, whatever it is. The self-inflicted wounds in this game, yeah, you can blame the refs all you want. We'll get to that in a moment. The self-inflicted wounds. Kendrick's injury was an issue, and then you had fights in the huddle between him and Malcolm Dandridge. And I don't know if they ever really found their way after that. I think there was some sort of back and forth there offensively with Kendrick a little hobbled. They couldn't get into anything. DeAndre Williams, who I thought Penny did a really good job of gambling with in that second half with 4 fouls. I thought he, down the stretch of that game, had some good putbacks. He had an and one to really put them over the top on the offensive end, but they never really could get over some of the issues they had with the fights in the huddle, and they just didn't really have that synergy. Elijah, I mentioned it, overcommitted on that final play of the game. I know what Penny Hardaway said he said in the huddle after the game in his presser. He said, let's worry about them getting to the rim. And Elijah McCadden overcommits and gets drove by Nick Boyd for the game-winning layup. And then, of course, Kendrick who was unbelievable all year. 21 points, 5.5 assists. Probably should have been the AAC player of the year. I hate it because of all the good things he did this year. I feel like a lot of people will remember that final possession there with the turnover. I hate that part of it. He's trying to avoid an 8-second call. He got caught in the backcourt for far too long, tried to pass it over to Alex Lomax. He was hobbled to a certain extent, Kendrick Davis was, and he commits a turnover. There's a mad scramble for the ball. And that's so unfortunate for a guy who truly, in 1 year, did so much good, did an unreal amount of good for this university and for this team in general, getting them back to the tournament for a second straight year. You don't have him, that doesn't happen. But he did have a terrible decision, made a terrible decision to pass that ball at the end of that game. Now, the cruel and unusual part is the refereeing, Bennett. I don't know what to say. I think there were several missed travel calls that they did not call on FAU. They added time on a inbounds play. It should have been about 0.4, 0.5 left on the shot clock. There was 0.7. FAU gets a shot up. And yep. At that point, it was a 2. They later called it a 3, so it was 60-60 coming back from a timeout.
Well, oh, man. So, after a commercial break, that's brutal.
So they added a point and added time to allow FAU to tie that ball game. Then, of course, after the mad scramble from the ball from Kendrick Davis's turnover, or knockaway, if you will, there's a timeout that was not called when Jaden Hardaway had possession. I still do not understand that. I do not get how it could have been a jump ball in that situation with two guys calling timeout and the bench calling for a timeout. But it ends and hurts the Tigers' chances to win that game that they ultimately go lose. And I just don't understand how you could have called a jump ball in that situation when FAU had absolutely zero possession of that ball, had zero possession of it.
Right. Yeah, man, my goodness. Again, like, you shot yourself in the foot, so, like, it is what it is. I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and like, blame the refs for why we ended up losing.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you gave up a wide-open layup,
yep.
Right? Like, to lose the game. So you did it to yourself. But, yeah, I mean, that image of Jaden on the ground with the ball and literally every player in the ref's face, you trying to call timeout, like, come on, man.
Somebody, yeah.
you just feel like, I don't know. And again, maybe it's just as a beaten down Tigers fan, but you do feel like, man, another program might have gotten that timeout.
Yes.
That's kind of where I land.
I think that, but it's, again, a self-inflicted wound
self-inflicted,
led to
yes.
the refs being able to take
yeah.
it into their own hands. And that's the brutal part of the whole thing.
I think in retrospect, with the Kendrick turnover, like, obviously brutal turnover that ultimately cost you the game. But I think, and again, it's all going so fast in the moment. I think in retrospect, like, they probably should have let Alex Lomax bring the ball
right.
up because he probably could have just gotten it past half court on its own. But you worry about, do you want Alex Lomax at the line in that situation? You know, Kendrick Davis is probably the guy on the floor that you want at the line when they ultimately foul. So I can understand either way, but he was clearly hobbled trying to get it up the floor. If he was fully healthy, I think Kendrick Davis just blows by everybody and avoids
yep.
the 8-second violation anyways.
Yeah,
you know?
Now – I think ultimately there's a lot of different reasons the Tigers lost this game that have to do. I mean, they're outside of even the self-inflicted wounds at the end. They're outside of the referees making calls. I don't think any one game comes down to a referee blowing his whistle or not blowing his whistle in a certain situation. I think there were things the Tigers needed to do that they didn't get done. One, they lost the rebounding battle to a team that had four guards, generally speaking, four guards on the floor, none over 6'4". That can't happen in that situation. And also, the DeAndre foul trouble really, really hindered them in a lot of ways. DeAndre in the second half had to give up some pretty easy baskets around the rim because he couldn't foul. Now, I think down the stretch of the game, offensively, he really helped. The putbacks, the and one he had to put them up by one, they were fantastic. That was great. And also, I mean, you had two guys all year who probably the two best players, probably the two best players, college players at the very least, to play in a Tiger uniform under Penny Hardaway, DeAndre Williams, and Kendrick Davis. And they both had really rough games. They really did. Kendrick, of course, gets hobbled at the end of that game, but only had 16, 5 for 15 shooting. DeAndre Williams had the foul trouble, only had 13, had two, I think, at halftime. And that's part of the reason that the Tigers put themselves in a position to not put away that game in the late stages. If those guys both have a good game, that's a win for the Tigers, and they can win it relatively comfortably. But both those guys didn't really show up when it mattered the most.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people also upset, and I get it, the fourth foul call on DeAndre.
Yeah, that's rough.
And I will say, in the moment, like, it did feel like, oh, you want to leave him out here on the court and not to get him out of the game? Fine, we're going to call the fourth foul. Like, that's kind of what it felt like, because it was just it was clearly something that that everyone was paying attention to. And I did think that it wasn't a foul. I mean, I thought that the guy clearly had his arm in an arm bar.
Yep.
But if you're DeAndre, you can't even be in that situation getting tangled up with somebody when you know you have three and they're paying close attention to you.
He had been so good down the stretch of the season of keeping himself out of those positions.
Right, right.
In the AAC tournament, I think he had three fouls each game and tried to stay out of that fourth one so he didn't have to play conservative. But in that game, he had to play conservative. I think ultimately, though, watching Penny gamble on DeAndre Williams down the stretch of that game, I guess he could have gone different directions, but I thought that was a gamble that ultimately paid off down the stretch with DeAndre being very helpful on the offensive end when they couldn't get everything in order with Kendrick hobbled and all those things. I thought that was ultimately, at the time, it felt weird. You put him back in with 12 minutes to go, four fouls. But ultimately it turned out relatively well. And I thought that was won by Penny that we should look back on pretty fond.
Yeah. And he finished with four fouls. So at the end of the day, it didn't hurt you leaving him in. So.
It did not. Now, it's always tough to have this conversation because it means that the season's behind you, but overall season thoughts, I have to say, I think there was a fair amount of growth this year, regardless of that NCAA tournament lost. You got older. Penny understands what he wants to do going forward and getting transfers. You're going to theoretically be able to get transfers going forward, considering how good these guys turned out. Kendrick Davis, DeAndre, Keontae at times, Elijah. Like, there are going to be guys around the country that have that on notice and understand that Penny can get the most out of them and put them in those positions. I also think, you know, the clear pecking order was something that in previous years had not quite been there. And to see DeAndre Williams and Kendrick Davis show up, all these other guys put their personal needs on the back burner because they know those guys are fantastic and they're going to win ball games behind those guys. That was cool to see. And I think ultimately Penny has found what he likes. After the game, he says, "We want to be older." We'll mention that a little bit later, talk about that more in the Blitz around 5:30. But he has found what he likes on and off the court, and I think that's an overwhelmingly positive thing for where this program's headed.
Yeah, I think that it was – I can't sit here and say it was a great season because of how it ended. It was a very successful season that ended tragically.
Yes, it did.
That's, because, you know, they won the AAC championship. You know, they win that tournament with those three big schools leaving. You know, you kind of send them out with a, you know, hey, we'll see y'all later. You know, this is our league now. So that was cool, and that's an awesome moment that obviously no one's going to forget. But clear missed opportunity. I mean, all due respect to Fairleigh Dickinson, but like, you had a chance go to the Sweet 16 and play against Tennessee.
That's the worst.
That is painful. It's because not only that, like, you're never going to get Tennessee on the schedule again as long as Rick Barnes is coach there. And he's going to get a lifetime contract at Tennessee.
Yep.
I mean, after going to the Sweet 16 with how they've been
Handling down the stretch,
he's going to be there for the foreseeable future. Like, Rick Barnes is going to be the coach of Tennessee, so you're never going to get him on the schedule. And I mean, when are you going to have that opportunity again to run into them in the NCAA tournament?
Yep.
I mean, it's just, and no less than the Sweet 16. Like, in the end, that is just a massive missed opportunity. So a disappointing ending, but overall a successful season.
That's the worst part about the whole thing, though, Bennett, is with the way things shook out, this was as golden an opportunity to get back to some level of promised land that you really want to be at. Yeah. Now, you can talk about them being underseeded, getting a different matchup. It is what it is. I thought they were overly capable of beating FAU. They just struggled in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But Fairleigh Dam Dickinson is who you would have ran into in the second round to get to the Sweet 16. FAU got there. And by the way, they're the most hated team in the NCAA tournament left.
That's
going
right.
An exclamation point dunk at the end of the game. Then you have guys on the bench waving bye to FDU. I mean, what are we doing? But you had such an awesome opportunity to prove to yourself that you can get back into those conversations, to those Sweet 16, to those Elite Eight conversations.
And not only that, and this feels like just piling on, but I had to say it, like, you just look at how this bracket is shaped out, and like, you've got some big matchups in the Sweet 16, Gonzaga, UCLA, Arkansas, UConn. I think Kansas State, Michigan State's a pretty good game. Memphis versus Tennessee in the Sweet 16 would have been the game of the weekend. It would have been the biggest game of the weekend.
And I would have appreciated how the Tigers matched up in that game, to be honest with you. Tennessee's playing good. Olivier Kamwa was unreal against Duke. He couldn't miss. 27 points. He knocked down three balls when he needed to, got to the rim, played good defense. But at the same time, that team still, game to game, you don't know what you're going to get offensively. I thought the Tigers would have had a decent shot had they got to that. Now, accomplishments this year, we can even go to last year to a certain extent as well, but accomplishments in the past 2 years for Penny Hardaway include two NCAA tournaments in a row. That's always a good thing.
Yep.
That's where you needed to get back to. After the Tubby era and people being incensed with how that went, people not in the crowd. And honestly, this NCAA tournament birth felt – it wasn't in doubt, right? It was never really in doubt. I think after February or middle parts of February, you weren't really worried about their placement. They had been so consistent down the stretch in AAC play. You didn't have to go beat Houston to ultimately earn a berth, an at-large berth into the NCAA tournament. So I think this one, it was pretty cool to see. You were 4-1 against the SEC this year. You played the number one team in the country at home in front of a sold out crowd. Obviously you lose late and that was pretty cruel and unusual in itself. But 18,000 people in that crowd. And then ultimately you beat that number one team to end the season 26-8 and you win an AAC tournament. You win a conference tournament for the first time in a decade and the first AAC tournament in the Penny Hardaway era, the first AAC tournament, the American Athletic Conference tournament in the history of this program. Now, you could talk about all those accomplishments, and I still think at the end of the day, what happened Friday is still a massive disappointment.
Yeah, definitely. No, I mean, big picture, like, things are good. Things are good. You got the right coach for this team and to run this program, clearly. And I think the thing that you're optimistic about, obviously you're losing most of your team.
Yes.
They're all seniors, like every, you know, you're losing a lot of people, but we know he's bringing in, you know, some big time recruits, and he proved this past offseason he's going to work that transfer portal. Like, he is going to get some big time college basketball players on this team for next season. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yes.
And I think most people
already involved in Khalif battle,
right,
at Temple.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
He is going to bring in some high level experienced college basketball players for this team next season, and we'll see if they can get back. And
yep,
I think they'll have a good chance too, with the conference not being as good. He's going to have to get creative, clearly, with the schedule, like, because you're going to need to play with the AAC, you know, being a little bit diminished going forward. You're just going to have to play a bigger non-conference schedule every single year. And so he'll have to get creative with that, and I'm sure he will.
4-1 versus the SEC this year. He's going to have that amount of games against power conference opponents just about every year to make sure, because, like, again, you mentioned it, the AAC, with where we're headed right now, with FAU joining, with Charlotte, with all these teams, that you're going to have even less room for error than you did before. You can't come back and go beat Houston and have that mean something, right, in the end of the day. So, like, that the scheduling is going to have to be on the higher-ups at the University of Memphis and Penny Hardaway himself. And from what I hear, Bennett, it feels like there's a lot that they're trying to do behind the scenes, trying to add two or three more power opponents, whether it be SEC, ACC, whatever it may be. It seems like that's something they're headed down the path to doing.
Yeah,
and they do have a Vandy return trip, so that's a decent one, especially with how Vandy ended the season. They looked pretty solid. But, yes, I mean, there's going to be less room for error. If you're looking on the negative side, that's what you look into next year. Your conference slate's going to be even worse than it was this year.
I mean, Florida Atlantic, like, and I know that Conference USA, the AAC, even with the new-look AAC, it's still, like, a better league than what Conference USA was this year. And I know a lot of those schools are coming over from Conference USA. But think about it. They only had three losses. They're a 9 seed.
Yep.
You know, like, there's not a lot of room for error. There's not going to be going forward. And you just hope that the league, you hope that Wichita State gets back.
Yep.
You hope that, you know, Tulane continues to be impressive. You hope that some of these other schools, you know, you hope UAB continues to be a good program when they come in, FAU, and maybe
that's who you hang your hat on is UAB and FAU really in conference right now. And I guess Tulane, if they really keep building on what they have, but the two Jaylens are going to be out of there before long,
right?
And Ron Hunter's going to have to reload. So, like, you're really looking at the teams coming in as your premier wins, UAB and FAU.
Yeah, you just hope that the
Dusty May has to stay at FAU right, too. That's another added thing to this is he's going to be a guy who's up for jobs.
Yeah, that's true. So you hope that they're able to, in conference next year, get quad one opportunities. You know, hopefully that'll be the case.
Yeah. Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and get to an early break here. And when we come back, I really want to hear from you Tiger fans out there. Whatever you're doing, stop, call in 901-445-0929. Again, that's 901-445-0929. And the question here is very simple. What are your overall feelings on the Tiger season? Of course, ending 66-65 in heartbreak against FAU. 901-445-0929. What are your overall feelings on the Tiger season? Success, disappointment, where do you stand? What do you think it looks like going forward? Do you think this year, though, was a success or a disappointment? Call in 901-445-0929. We'll be right back. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Yeah. I've been down so long, it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face. I've been down so long, it look like
back rolling on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and we are bringing on you for your thoughts. Again, the number is very simple, 901-445-0929. And what we're discussing, what are your overall feelings of the Tiger season? Just having lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament to the 9-seed FAU, 66-65. Definitely some heartbreak involved. Was it a success? Was it a disappointment in your eyes? We'll learn that now. We first bring on Mike. Mike, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, fellas. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely.
All right. I was just the tournament itself. I think the loss and the opportunity that we had just looked like we had an opportunity to make a run. I think that's a disappointment. But with Penny putting their team together, all the pieces we lost, them putting their team together, I think no one would have predicted we would have cut down the nets in our conference tournament being a champion. So I wouldn't say it was a disappointment. I think it's a letdown and knowing the opportunity we could have had in the tournament. But from putting that team together, piecing those parts, losing people, I would have to say it was a good year for Penny.
Understood, and Mike. And you just look at those accomplishments. There's no question about it. Second year in a row they're in the NCAA tournament. You cut down the nets in Fort Worth in the AAC tournament. And you beat the number one team in the country to go win that tournament in general. I think there's a lot to build off of, but ultimately it is disappointing to lose in that first round. We bring on Brian next in Jackson, Tennessee. Brian, how you doing, man?
Good. Hey, Gabe, this is Brian Vada. You know who I am.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha, Brian.
I'm going to say the season is a success. I didn't think they'd win the conference tournament, and they were able to do that. It was really disappointing that they lost in the first round, especially seeing the bracket shape out the way it shaped out. But I'm proud of what the Tigers did this season, and I can't wait till next season.
Has Penny gotten over, in your opinion, the coaching discussions? Has he gotten over the he can, he can't coach after this year, seeing what he did with these young guys or these older guys and transitioning into that, getting older, getting the pecking order right?
Yeah, he can coach. The past two seasons have sold me. You know me. I was really, really hard on Penny early on, but he's really, really proven to be a really good coach, and I'm proud of the program he's built at Memphis.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Appreciate the call, Brian. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I do think, and there's going to still be guys out there who discuss these things with Penny. Is this what Memphis signed up for? And they're going to use some recycled narratives. And obviously, I think it's also fair. I think it's also fair to realize what's coming up next year. And Penny trying to get the pecking order right between young guys, mix of older guys, that type of thing. You can have some pauses there, but at the same time, this year showed a lot about how much he's grown, how much he's learned. Next, we have Joe in Cordova joining the program. Joe, how's it going?
Good, guys. Two quick points for you to consider. I want your take on this. First of all, I think it's interesting to consider Florida Atlantic has won more NCAA tournament games this week than Memphis has won in the 5 years that Penny's been here.
Mm-hmm.
Second, all that talent, number one recruiting classes, a conference player of the year. Ayla was a two-time Mr. Basketball in a state that produces a lot of great basketball players. The facilities are second to none, and the support is tremendous. Doesn't that add up to more than one NCAA tournament win in 5 years?
Joe, I think that's I appreciate that conversation. We'll talk about that. I think that that's very worthy of discussion, but in the grand scheme of things, what Joe brings up. Yes, I think that Penny would even tell you he has fallen short in a lot of ways, depending on the year. The number one recruiting class, a top 10 recruiting class. You look at last year with Amani Bates and how all those things sort of fizzled out on him. I think there's been some underachievement there. But this year, with less talent, with more older folks, with sort of learning the pulls, you have a lot of young guys, you have a lot of old guys. What works best for you? I think that this year was both a tremendous season, but also a big learning experience for Penny Hardaway about what he ultimately wants going forward with this program and what wins in college basketball as a whole. Now, next, we have West in North Memphis. West, how's it going, man? What are your thoughts?
Gabe, what's cracking? You doing all right today?
Yes, sir. I'm doing fantastic, West. Thanks for asking.
All right. So I just wanted to say this. Okay, first off, the season was a success wrapped in a disappointment. You know what I mean? I think it started off because it was more of a crescendo. We didn't go into this season expecting big hype, expecting big things. It was just kind of blah at the beginning of the season, but then we started to fall in love with Kendrick. We fell in love with DeAndre's kind of standing on his own now. You know what I mean? So that hype built up. But I want to say that I really think the only reason why this is a disappointment because we're looking at FAU and, like, that could have been us. If they played Purdue and got beat by 100 points, no one would have said anything. And just one quick thing, people have to stop judging Penny by other coaches' standards. We have to remember, Penny is still 5 years into this thing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? 100%. A lot of NBA players don't hit their prime until their fifth year. So we got to give him a little bit more room to, like you said, learn on the fly because that's what he's doing. All right, I'm going to hang up and let you talk about it.
West, great call. And I've said this the entire time. When you go from AAU to college basketball, there's a learning curve, and you have to learn what you like and what you don't like. And ultimately, I think Penny's done a good job of that. Now, something that Wes said that really resonates with me in particular, and a lot of people I think in the fan base, it'll resonate with them. This year, no hype train, no Memphis Madness, no discussions. Penny just sort of let things come to him and the way they fell. Now, we ended up learning and loving all these guys on this team, but the lack of hype and then the success that followed after I think is a welcome change in a lot of ways. Now, that has to continue. Going into next year again, you have young players. You're going to have to mix them with old. You're going to have to find it all again. You're going to have to find that pecking order, deal with guys off the court the right way, which is a big thing that Penny has had struggles with in the past. But I agree with what West said right there. I think there's a lot to be said about how this season went compared to the preseason expectations, and that's definitely a welcome change. Now, Russ in South Haven joins the program now. Russ, how are you? And what are your thoughts on the Tiger season?
Hey, look, love the show, man. I appreciate taking the call.
Yes, sir.
My thoughts, I think it was a success overall. I loved winning the AAC tournament, and that was a super high note. But then that failure in the big dance, that really sucked, of course. But, you know, I think that in the future they really need to start looking at their three-point shooters and their foul shooters. Man, they cannot make foul shots to save their lives sometimes, and it just aggravates me seeing something that basic on a highly loaded team. You got to be able to make those foul shots when they count, and it seems like every year this has been a problem.
I'll tell you what, Russ, no matter if it's been Cal, if it's been Tubby, if it's been Josh, if it's been Penny, that's always been an issue, huh?
Yeah, yep. I see it every year. I don't know when they're going to fix it.
No question, Russ. Appreciate the call.
I mean, they can't fix it because it's a curse.
Yeah.
It's not.
That is spoken like a battered Tiger fan.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
It's just the curse of the program. Yes, there's no escaping that.
Yeah, and there's always – it's got to be cruel and unusual. I mentioned it. Cruel and unusual,
right,
with a side of self-inflicted wounds. And that has to do with those missed free throws. I get that. Now, Frank at the Skybox joins. Frank, what's the word, man? How are we?
Well, good, Gabe. I think you have to say it's been a very successful season. I mean, this team I don't think was anywhere near as talented as last year. It seems like that they're always playing their better basketball at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want as a coach. And I believe wholeheartedly that coaching in AAU and coaching in college basketball is a huge learning curve for him. And I think he's gotten better. I think he's gotten better on what comes out of said, like, you know, before when he had the number one recruiting class, we're going to win multiple championships and we want all the smoke.
Right.
I didn't hear much of that. And so I think that comes from a learning curve of, you know, don't put a target on yourself. And
always.
I mean, you know, last year, you know, they had come within a chance of beating Gonzaga that hadn't been for Timmy going out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I hated we lost the game, and you could pick out many plays that, you know, could say that the tide turned or you lost it for this reason or that reason. The thing is, we lost it no matter what, and you hate to lose that, but, you know, winning the AAC tournament, man, was pretty sweet. We had a lot of happy Tiger fans at Skybox, and so I think we're looking up instead of looking down. And you got to remember what Penny took over. Tubby was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
The program was in horrible shape when he took over. And I think the program is in better shape, and that's what you're paying for.
Yep, no question. Frank, thanks for the call. I've remained with this way, and I think everybody's there. It's always better to under-promise and over-deliver than over-promise and under-deliver. And I think ultimately, as easy and cliche as that is, that's something that Penny had to get through. And this year, you definitely saw that. Now, we have a couple of open lines, 901-445-0929. What are your thoughts on the Tigers' season? Was it a success, disappointment? What are you feeling on this Monday following just that brutal loss, 66-65 to FAU? Now we bring on Trey in Westwood, who joins the program. Trey, how's it going?
Hi, I'm doing good. Glad you take the call. Glad to get on the air. Man, it's a success because starting off this season, nobody had any expectations for us. They had already penciled out to lose against Houston, Tulane, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody needs to get off the shenanigans. We had a successful season. The team we had of nobodies became somebody. If you look at the foundation, it's like it's almost as if the old grit and grind Grizzlies, what Penny is building here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Stop looking at the McDonald's All-American, the prima donnas. Mm-hmm. You have players that want to play and want to be here.
Yep.
This was a success.
Yep. Appreciate the call, Trey. Appreciate the call. I think I'm with Trey for the most part. I do think you do still want those McDonald's All-Americans. You still do want that talent on campus. But I think you have to learn to mix and match and understand what you like when you bring in transfers. And in this day and age of college basketball, you have to have a good mix. You have to have the older guys, the seniors, the juniors, and you have to have those young guys with talent. But I think managing those things off the floor is the massive learning curve that Penny Hardaway had to go through. We had no doubt that he could bring in talent, but it was about getting that talent to play very well and play synergized, play with the other guys on the floor by the time they get on campus. Now, Ryan in Arlington is next. Ryan, how's it going? What are your thoughts on the season?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well. Going well.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it was definitely a successful season. He's really made strides. I think every year he's been a coach at Memphis, he's gotten better each year, and he's starting to really tie up some of those little things. One knack I have is it feels like every game, especially the big ones, we have one or two possessions where we just kill ourselves.
It's like
every game I feel like we're killing ourselves every on one or two possessions. But overall, I think it was a great year. He's getting better. Like a couple callers said back, I think it was a great season. It's really going to sting, especially seeing Rocky top up in Madison Square Garden this weekend. It's going to really hurt because, you know, we should be there right now. But there's a lot of momentum, and I don't think this one game's going to kill it. I think we're going to keep improving, and I think he's going to be good.
Great call, Ryan. Great call. Appreciate the call. Next, we bring on Chris in the Southwind area. Chris, what are your thoughts on the season?
Hey, man, how y'all doing today?
Doing well, Chris.
Okay. The season was a success considering the players lost and having to replace them with not so highly ranked players. I think overall it was a success. But the real thing to me, and I know this is going to hurt a lot of Memphians' hearts, the thing to me was the only difference between this team and the previous four teams was not having Alex Lomax as our starting point guard.
Mm-hmm. But Kendrick Davis was that guy, I think, ultimately. I mean, you look at what Kendrick was able to do. I don't know if you missed that even in the slightest.
No. So I think the thing is, just going forward, we're not going to have a lot of veteran guys. But if you could just get a point guard that can really take in Penny's offense, we're going to be fine for years to come.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Chris. Here's the thing about what Chris said, and I think, yes, you need veteran players. Penny learned that this year. Penny absolutely learned that this year. You need to bring in veteran guys. You need to have them on the floor to help out some of the young guys that are going to be on campus next year. Now, Here's the make or break part of next year. Mikey Williams coming in as a freshman, he's the guy who would be on ball. That's who you think is going to be on ball. Can he come along really early as a distributor? Can he have some type of presence as a freshman in that role? That's something that's going to be a big thing to watch going forward. We still have a couple of open lines, 901-445-0929. What are your thoughts on the Tigers season after that loss to FAU 66-65? Success, disappointment, where are you at on this Monday? We go ahead and give it to D. Midge in East Memphis. D, what's the word?
Good afternoon, man. I think it was a huge success, and I think I speak for the majority of us. Penny is our guy.
Yep. I mean,
he showed us this year. He remained calm and steadfast, and it seemed like the whole team really just wanted to be here. You know, that we didn't have the huge egos that we've had before. And I think Penny really showed that he could coach. My only concern going forward is, hey, you know, with what he did with such little talent compared to most years and got so much out of it, I think the NBA boys might be looking at too.
We'll see. There was the rumors about the Magic job. We'll see, D. I don't know about that yet, but we'll have to keep an eye on it, no question about it. Thanks for the call, D. Now, we have a couple of more minutes. We have a couple of more calls, 901-445-0929, before we're going to transition away, finish the first hour, and then bring on Jeff Calkins. But Adam in the U of M area joins now. Adam, how are you? What do you think about the Tigers season?
I'm doing well, Gabe. First time I've had a chance to call in to you. I've enjoyed your show so far. I think you're doing a great job.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Adam.
Get that out of the way. Look, if you think back at it, because over the weekend when everything transpired, you know, I went back and looked at records and looked at things. Calipari was here for 6 years, six full seasons, before he won a conference championship and before he advanced to the second weekend in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. He had won an NIT, and he went to the Final Four. Next year is Penny's sixth year. Penny's already ahead of Cal's schedule. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we gave Calipari six full years, I'm just talking about, I've been hearing a lot of detractors about Penny over the weekend. I mean, I've been seeing it out there. And my deal is that if we can give Calipari all that time that we gave him, and then we experience the success we got, I mean, to me, Penny has done an excellent job. People have been talking about where things were at when Tubby was here. You look what he's done in the time that he's been here. There's been improvement every year. I mean, we had moved up. We went to the second weekend or second round last year in the NCAA tournament. This year we lost in the first round, but we did win our first conference tournament in, you know, a decade in the American. And so, you know, I really think things are looking up. I do. I think that he's on the right track. Yes, it was disappointing, but at the same time, it was a blast. Everybody yep. enjoyed last weekend when we beat Houston and we won that trophy.
Yep.
And so we're going to look back on it with fondness, and I think it laid the groundwork that needed to be laid.
Appreciate it, Adam. Thanks for the call. 26-9 is the final tally for the Tigers this year. I mean, so far in the Penny Hardaway era, 111-52, two NCAA tournaments, an AAC championship. Ultimately, if it's not Penny Hardaway and it's a different name as a coach, I think you view it a lot differently. You view it through a different lens. I know the expectation game is hard to play, and he didn't play it all that well through the first 4 years. But this year, no expectation game, and they end up with this spot. And also, they're number 24 in the AP. They finished at the end of the year, number 24 in the AP poll. Now, this is what we're going to do. We have a few more calls that we can get to on the other side. We're going to start with Edward in Midtown when we come back. But 901-445-0929, we'll finish up the hour with your calls on the Tigers. Again, what are your overall feelings on the Tigers season? Was it a success or was it a disappointment? We'll get back to it when we come back on the other side. 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis's college basketball station. The best college hoops and stories in Memphis live on 92.9 FM ESPN. Memphis's Hoops Place.
This is Gary Parrish, and you've heard me talk about Dr. Maddie Sadeghi and his staff for years now. They run the Smile Center. It's where my whole family goes. We're fortunate. Our insurance covers it. But Dr. Maddie understands not everybody is fortunate enough to have dental insurance, and that's why he's created the membership plan at the Smile Center. It's an in-office insurance plan for patients who do not have dental insurance, so if you fall under that umbrella, please get in touch with the Smile Center. Dr. Medi and his entire staff have been vaccinated, so it's a safe environment. The address is 1941 South Germantown Road in Germantown near Saddle Creek, 901-309-1333, online, smilecentermemphis.com.
This is Gary Parrish, and you've heard me talk about Stacks for a while now. Great breakfast featuring omelets, pancakes, breakfast sandwiches, but don't forget, Stacks is also great for brunch. It has an incredible cocktail menu, so if you haven't been by yet, it's time to stop by. Stacks uses local products for all of its ingredients. It's locally owned and operated, and if you need catering for breakfast or lunch, Stacks can handle that too. There are now three locations in the area: Germantown, East Memphis, and South Haven. Got a new location coming soon to Cairoville. It's Stacks Pancake Kitchen. It's so flipping good.
Make today more interesting with Bet.ly's online sports betting action. You can bet on pro and college games with Bet.ly, the only online sports book in Arkansas and Tennessee. And right now, every new customer can cash in on a $250 risk-free first bet. Download the Bet.ly Sportsbook app now in the Apple and Google Play Store or visit Bet.ly.com. With Bet.ly, every game matters.
Must be 21 or older and located in Arkansas or Tennessee to bet. Play responsibly. For help quitting, call 800-522-4700.
I realize the complexities of the human body and its ability to heal itself.
That's orthopedic surgeon Dr. John Herzog talking about regenerative medicine at QC Kinetics.
It's a very well thought out process, and they use it in all the professional teams around the world.
Regenerative medicine uses healing agents from your own body, like your blood or bone marrow, highly concentrated and delivered right to the achy joint.
By putting it in the spot where it can't normally get to, you can facilitate healing.
At QC Kinetics, they are the nation's leader in this exciting field of medicine. Lasting pain relief with no drugs, no downtime, and no surgery.
People are very happy to have an opportunity to get better without going through the entirety of a medical procedure.
The old ways of dealing with joint pain are no longer the only ways. Learn more about regenerative options that could help you get your life back. Call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 901-445-1010. That's 901-445-1010. 901-445-1010.
Life is stressful enough without wondering if your insurance covers any mishap or misfortune. Let Trippett Insurance take that burden away. They're the experts on finding you the best coverage on your home, auto, toys, and life insurance. Their locally owned family business works with multiple insurance providers to offer you a wide range of options. Sign up for a free entry for a $25,000 dream build from Dirty South Customs. Learn more and get a free quote at 901-365-1472 or online at trippetagency.com.
At Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, it's time to define luxury in
in a new way. At every turn, you'll find audacious design, state-of-the-art technology, and exceptional hospitality. We are dedicated to crafting the world's best vehicles, matched by an extraordinary sales-to-service experience for our owners. Prepare to be noticed in the 2023 Genesis G70. This sporty sedan is a force to be seen. We'd love you to explore the 2023 Genesis GV70 with a class-leading 300 horsepower engine or the available 375 horsepower twin turbo V6 for terrains from concrete jungles to mountain roads. It's a new beginning for a new generation. Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, 1870 Covington Pike, or visit us online at memphisgenesis.com. Estimated horsepower based on premium fuel ratings. Use of regular fuel will result in reduced horsepower. See dealer for complete details. Dealer stock only.
I'm Bob Burke, founder and chairman of Burke America Parts Group, a family of brands that includes RepairClinic.com, an appliance and HVAC parts solution company that's grown into an international brand. Before AmericanEagle.com, we partially launched a new technology platform developed by another firm. American Eagle helped take our technology to a whole new level with digital marketing, software development, and business insights into our key markets, appliances, HVAC, and outdoor power equipment, and did so both on time and on budget. AmericanEagle.com has the resources, experience, and talent needed to produce solutions. Our new technology platform developed by AmericanEagle.com has produced tremendous results with higher traffic, conversion, engagement, and online revenue. If you have any home repairs you need to take care of, check us out at RepairClinic.com. If you need a world-class website or technology project, then I would highly recommend AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 773-NETWORK. That's AmericanEagle.com, 773-NETWORK.
Tonight, partly cloudy and chilly, low of 38.
Weather brought to you by the Specialized Recruiting Group. The Specialized Recruiting Group takes an individual approach, placing people in contract and full-time roles. SRGExpress.com, now placing in accounting roles.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Could you tell where my head was at when you back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. We've been taking some calls. What are your overall feelings on the Tigers season after this loss 66-65 in the first round of the NCAA tournament to FAU? We are taking no more callers via the lines. We have four left, four more calls left. If you're on the line, stay on the line. But if not, we are going to stop it after that. We have to transition to other things on the show today. So we'll start here with Edward in Midtown. Edward, what's the word?
Yo, what's up, Gabe? Big fan, bro. Proud of you, bro. Keep going. But just want to say, bro, honestly, I don't see why people think it's a disappointment. Like, we exceeded all expectations because there's no expectations.
Yep.
Honestly, I mean, I ain't got no knock towards Penny on this program. My only question for you, bro, is, like, obviously he figured it out when it comes to the vet and young guy mix, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it might be better to have, like, a vet PG. Yep. Teach Mikey the ropes, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So for you, who do you think can be in the portal that can help out? You know what I'm saying? Yep. Is Miles from TCU, maybe Ball coming back, helping out with ball handling responsibilities? Who do you think, bro?
Appreciate. I'll talk about that. I'll talk about that in just a moment. Appreciate the call, Edward. I look at some of the guys that have already been reached out to. So some backcourt members. Khalif Battle's a guy who's already been reached out to by Memphis. Maybe he's a guy you bring in. I do like the thought of a veteran point guard. But if you have the talent, if Mikey Williams can come in here, have that talent immediately, get brought along by Penny Hardaway early, I think you still have that opportunity ahead of you to be successful at that position. And that's something that we know until this year had been missing in a lot of ways since Jeremiah Martin left campus, basically. So it's something that has been a point of contention in this in this Penny Hardaway era, but we'll see what Mikey Williams can do. I do like the thought, though, of an experienced guy bringing him along to start the season before he comes into his own. We have James in Raleigh now. James, how are you doing?
Well, hi, I'm doing great. I'm new to the area here. I come from bought a house up here in Raleigh from Clearwater, Pinellas County. I want to thank you for sending us Mike Norvell, because he's going to lead the Seminoles. He's going to lead the Seminoles.
I got you.
To the promised land.
I got you, James. Now, what are your thoughts on the Tigers season?
Yes. y'all, it was good. It's incremental. It's steps. And I think y'all did really great. And Penny Hardaway has cachet. I can't imagine him going into any recruit's house and just like, this is Penny Hardaway, you know?
Yeah.
So I think you just got to stay with it. In 5 years, that ain't nothing. I just hope that you stay with it. And I become a real a Memphis Tiger fan.
Nice. Nice.
Good.
Appreciate the call, James. Appreciate the call. No question. Penny will continue to do his recruiting. But I think, again, that mix is something that he has found. We have two more callers we're going to take. Then we got to transition. Landon and Fraser. Landon, how's it going? What are your thoughts on the Tiger season?
Afternoon, fellas. Landon Norris. I am a Memphis Tiger alumni, Memphis track team from 1999 to 03. So I've been around since DeJuan Webb for ages.
Yes, sir.
Penny did his job this year. He put butts in seats with sold tickets. He kept the program alive and well, and everybody wanted to come in. Look at you. We've had a whole segment on how do you think they did the season.
Yep.
This was a success. It came down to about five plays. One player, his competitors took a little bit before him, so they got two shots in the ball. That's 5 points they gave up. Then we have a call at the end that's controversial to where you got a jump ball, what they call a jump ball, where you got two kids throwing timeout in his face.
Mm-hmm.
That still left him on the edge. The only thing he's missing is outside shooting. He brings in good point guards, good 2-3 players that can play the five, and good surrounding players that can come in and actually put in what they're doing in the session. All he needs is a couple of good outside shooters, and again, he's going to keep filling it. I wish he'd stay around for a couple more years, about 5 more years, continue to build the program, and keep making home look good. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
Thanks, fellas.
Yep, appreciate it, Mike. And I mean, there's no reason to think Penny is headed anywhere right now. I know we've had the NBA thoughts in the back of our mind with the Magic last year, but it doesn't look like anything's deterring him at the moment. And I mean, two tournaments in a row, certainly something to build on. Last call we'll take is Mike in North Memphis. Mike, what are your thoughts on the season?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I just had a quick question, man.
Okay.
Maybe I missed something. Was KO hurt this season or something? Because they did not take the time to develop this kid. He's 6'10", can jump out the gym, can run the floor like a deer. So I don't understand why was he sitting on the bench and not being developed. That's my only question, and that's my only concern about Penny and the guys that he bring in. He doesn't take the time to develop these guys, and when they go to other schools, they get bigger, they get stronger, mm-hmm. their shots get better. So that's my only concern with the program.
You.
Other than that, I think it was an overall good season.
Understood. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mike, for the call. For KO, I think there was times they wanted to play him, and I know a lot of fans called for him to play, but, I mean, you got to rebound. You got to do something on the offensive end, and I don't know if that ever came along. And once you got Malco off the shelf, he was the guy that needed to be in there. You played him in spurts. And KO, I mean, with respect to his skill set, never really came along. Now, I maybe there's something to what you're saying about developing guys, but KO was a senior already. The development that he had seemingly would have been behind him, and he would have been more of a finished product when he got onto campus. It just didn't look that way. It didn't look like mm-hmm. that the entire season. Appreciate the calls on the Tiger season. Again, I think most people thinking success, no question, but wrapped in a disappointment with that first round exit 66-65. To FAU. Now, real quick, before we get out of here and bring on Jeff Calkins, and I'm going to have to talk to him about this as well. The back half of the day on Friday in Columbus was unreal with the Fairleigh Dickinson upset and then that Tigers game versus FAU and how close that was. That had to be an unbelievable scene in that arena.
Oh, yeah.
My gosh.
Purdue frauds.
Well, yes, we knew that, and that's why we were talking about the potential matchup that never arose. But I have never seen a team play tighter than Purdue did that entire second half.
No.
They were scared to death to fail. That's what it looked like to me. They just literally could not do anything without thinking about the consequences, and they just played so tight. There was a couple loose balls that Fairleigh Dickinson was sprinting after because they had nothing to lose and Purdue had all to lose. Purdue played like they had all to lose. But, I mean, the back half of that day with a 16 seed over one second time ever, and honestly, Fairleigh Dickinson shouldn't even been there because Merrimack was not eligible. They end up winning the NEC. And then the Tigers game, as much as there's a lot to be said about the officiating and how that all ended. Maybe the Tigers got screwed. That was an unbelievable scene in Columbus on Friday. But let's go ahead and get to the other side. We have to go ahead and transition. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about Grizzlies and more on the other side with Jeff Calkins.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, celebrating a legacy of sports as the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers talk. Always live on the Odyssey app and on smart speakers. Say, play 92.9 ESPN.